Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone on this rainy Sunday morning to Wiggum Baptist Church. We just have a few announcements. Well, we've got quite a few announcements, so we'll go through those. But if you're visiting with us, or if you have any prayer needs or any needs, please just use the insert on the in the bulletin, fill it out, put it in the offering plate, or hand it to one of the deacons or our brother Tim, and we'll see what we can do on those. Lottie Moon Christmas offering is $1,500. As of this morning, we've got $300, so please just continue to give to that so we can meet our goal for that. We'll hear more about that. We'll have a mission video after the opening prayer. Tonight, birthday party for Jesus after the evening worship service. Bring your favorite finger foods. We'll be collecting food for the food pantry, and we're collecting throws, blankets, and men and women's socks for the residents at the nursing home. And we're also collecting socks, underwear, shoes for the Hope Room. So we need all sizes for the children and for the Hope Room. So please come and celebrate Jesus' birthday with us tonight after the service. Choir practice, 5:15 today, so please be here for that. I believe all the tags are gone from the Christmas tree in the back to help a needy family here in Wiggum. We need those items back next Sunday, Jean. Yeah, next Sunday. If you've gotten a tag, please bring the items that you got and bring them by next Sunday so we can get them to that family. Conference will be December 13th. You want to say anything, Brother Tim, about yesterday and the community?
I want to thank everybody because it wasn't a one-person event. Thank everyone for helping with the cooking, the cakes, the serving, the running back and forth, the passing out invitations this past Wednesday night. As best I can count, we served about 275 people. I know that's including us, too. But, that's plant seeds. That's the possibility of reaching into 275 people's lives. And so don't think that because today and it's raining and all the people we fed yesterday didn't show up. Don't think that's a failure because it's not. We made an impact and we want to continue to make impacts. And so we'll keep planting seeds and sooner or later somebody come along and water like the Lord is doing today. And sooner or later those seeds will sprout. So thank you all from the bottom of my heart for what you did. Keep saying this, but I don't want us to forget. Not every church is willing to do what y'all did.
Mm-hmm. Brother Jim, one of the ladies that we passed out the card to, she told me she works in the kitchen at the nursing home. She said that she appreciates us going out and passing them out because she got one of the plates and she didn't think that we would do something like that. She really appreciated it.
Amen. Well, speaking of eating, we're eating tonight. Amen. Next Sunday is our Christmas fellowship meal immediately after church worship service this Sunday morning. So please plan and stay for that. December 24th, Christmas Eve, the candlelight service in the old church at 6:00. So please mark your calendars and plan to attend our candlelight service, January the 22nd. Is the Titus II Women's Ministry here at the church at 6:30 p.m. Any other announcements? Autumn's raising my hand.
I'm going to say thank you to the church for checking on me. I had my surgery and I was in the hospital.
Good to see you back. Is that what Autumn's raising her hand? She was raising her hand. I thought she might have something, but that's fine. That's fine. Thank you, Kim. You know, I'm not good at calling out people or anything like that, but it is so good to see Brother David here today to come worship with us. Brother David, he was here for a while as interim pastor, and y'all, he set the foundation for Brother Tim. That's all. I'll tear up. I'll say anything like that. But thank you for coming today, Brother David.
I had to be here. Step, you start Lottie Moon.
Amen. Amen. Any birthdays? If not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. I just thank you for the opportunity to be here to worship you this morning, Lord. I thank you for the ones that have come out in this weather this morning, Lord, to make the time to come to worship you and realize how important it is to gather together to worship our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord. And Lord, I do just pray for all the activities and events that we have planned, that this church has planned and this church is doing during this Christmas season, Lord. But I always pray, Lord, that we just, as we did yesterday and we are planning on doing tonight, even next Sunday and Christmas Eve, Lord, that we are not doing it to bring glory on ourselves, but it's to God be the glory, Lord. And we always want to give you the glory and the thanks and the praise. Lord, I do want to lift Brother Tim up to you today, Lord, as he leads us into worship service, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that for the next little while, Lord, that as we sing these praises and sing these hymns and he brings the message, Lord, that we'll just clear our hearts and our minds of what's going on, Lord, even of the weather, Lord, and that we'll just focus on worshiping you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Clear?
There's people that I've met that are like, I wake up, go to work, go in VR. Sometimes I sleep in VR, and then I wake up and do it all over again. And who else is going to evangelize to them? If Dr. Taco never evangelized to me, I don't know where I would be today.
In virtual reality, there are real people all around the world that are genuinely looking for some type of social interaction to fill some void in their life that they might be missing in real life. There are people that are lost. Kind of recluse or shut in to where they don't want to go into the real world again, so they retreat to the virtual world.
I was very unhappy in my life. I became an alcoholic. I just became so depressed and spiteful of everybody around me. To get away from that, I just wanted to be alone with other people that were also lonely and introverted. And so I eventually found this game called VR Chat. In virtual reality, people are inherently more simple than they are in real life. Whenever I was in VR, you know, I would drink and I would just ruin everybody's day. I would say very hateful things to them. I'd say very hurtful things to them. And so a lot of people in virtual reality, they do that. They're able to open up about their sins and they're able to hang out with people that enables them to continue to be more simple than they would be in real life. That day, I was just hanging out by myself, drinking, and there's this guy, and he's testing out his new avatar.
Perfect, that's perfect. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2. And this tiny 2-foot-tall Nutella jar with face and legs comes running up to us and starts kind of like making fun. And so I was like, we're going to go ahead and head out. But one of my friends named Silver stayed behind and actually got to talk to Michaela more.
And Silver, she was just sitting alone by herself, so I started talking to her. You know, I was a little drunk at the time, and so I started like sharing all of my woes to her. She was like, there's this guy named Dr. Taco, and I was like, oh, that's the guy I just made fun of. Dr. Taco and I start talking, and I'm like, hey, you know, my life is actually really awful. And he said, you can fix that with Jesus. And I was like, what do you mean by that? And he starts to share the gospel with me, and he continues to share the gospel with me. It started to like fill this void in my heart that I've been chasing with alcohol. And instead of like filling that void with hatred, I wanted to have my heart filled with Jesus. So my husband and I now, we do virtual ministry, which is just like any other real life ministry, except you go into a video game and you tell people about Jesus.
That's just a tool. That's just one of the many, many, many tools missionaries are using to reach out to the lost around them.
It's not very much different, except for maybe you're sharing the gospel with, you know, like a SpongeBob character, or you're sharing the gospel with a carrot with legs, or a banana with sunglasses.
VR Chat is that same avenue to bring people from where they are without Christ to a relationship and a life with Christ.
Although virtual reality isn't the real world, there's real people inside of it, and there's real people there that need the gospel.
Good stuff there. Well, it is good to see everybody this morning, Brother David. It's good to see you. Glad to have you. I expect you to sing louder than Brother Tim now. You got it. You got it. Okay. Well, this morning our opening hymn is going to be "He Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Let's all stand as we sing hymn 93.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm thankful to have each of you here today. What a blessing it is to be in the house of the Lord. You know, we're blessed. I keep hearing them sirens. So I think we need to pray for whatever's going on. So let's bow. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. Oh, Lord, we know it's warm and dry in here. And Lord, but there's something going on and somebody needs help. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just be with those who are going to help. Lord, I pray for safety for them. I pray for whatever situation is going on, Lord, that you would just you would comfort all who are involved. Lord, I pray for your will to be done in each and every life, Lord. And just thank you for, once again, the blessings that you give us in this season. Lord, I pray today would it be all about you. And that, Lord, as we lift you up, once again, Lord, you would draw us to yourself. So, Lord, have your way in us and through us today. Through your word, may we be drawn closer to you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if we take Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 1. Today I'm going to be speaking on Christmas through the eyes of Mary. Christmas through the eyes of Mary. And you know, the hard thing about being a pastor, one of the hard things, a lot of hard things about being a pastor, but one of them is these holidays. Because we come to it every year. And you struggle with what to preach on, because you assume everybody knows everything about Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's. But I want to this year, I'll look at, we looked at Christmas lights last Sunday and talked about last Sunday night about not missing Christmas. This morning we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary. And tonight we're going to look at Christmas through the eyes of Joseph. And so hopefully we'll get a different perspective of what God was doing through his servants, because we must remember these are his people that he is using. And so I want to look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary, but I also want to relate what Mary was going through to our personal life. So we'll go ahead and get started here in Luke chapter 1. Look with me to verse 26. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" This is the verse 34. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Look, this verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, "Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I want us to think about this, because for 400 years, from the closing out of the Old Testament to the announcements of the John the Baptist that was going to be born, and then to Mary and Joseph, as we'll see tonight, there are these announcements that the forerunner of Christ is coming. So for 400 years, there has been silence from God. Now, if somebody didn't call you for 400 years, what would you think? That's a long time. And so the nation of Israel hadn't been one of God. You know, you haven't spoken to us since Malachi. You haven't said, and you've made these promises. God, where are you? Right? Isn't that what you thought? I won't say the name of the movie. Remember the name? How many have watched the movie Dance of the Wolves? Remember when the guy that ate the rotten eggs was traveling, and he comes across a dead body out there in the middle of nowhere, you know, and he says, "I bet them people back east wonder why he don't write." I think of the same thing with the nation of Israel, because here they are. They're wondering where God is in all this. For 400 years, silence. And yet, down through history, all of a sudden, all this activity begins to happen. And Zacharias and Elizabeth are told that the forerunner of Christ was going to be born through them. These were older people. Amen? They were older people. They were really, in a lot of ways, probably past the normal childbearing years. But they kept praying. They kept asking God, and God delivered. I wonder what was going through Mary's mind. Sean and Harold sang the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" That's a huge question. Because, yes, the angel told Mary what was going to happen. But think about what had been going through Mary's mind. Because this is... Yes, she asked the one question, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In other words, she was a virgin. She had never been with a man. I'm not going to get too blunt because there's children here. But what I'm simply saying is, she had never had sex. I don't know how to say it. She had never had sex. So here she is. She's this young teenage girl. And all of a sudden, an angel shows up and tells her, "You're going to bear a child." Ladies, what would you think? This ain't happening. And she asked the question, "How can this be?" I think sometimes we skip over that part, because she's saying, "Listen, that I know, it's my body." But she probably was afraid, and the angel sensed her fear. Tells her not be afraid. But we also have to understand, she was a young Jewish girl, so at the same time, she's probably a little bit excited. The Messiah's coming. All that's been taught to me, and all that the nation of Israel has stood for and looked forward to throughout history, is coming to fruition. She was probably even astonished. But by the end of the conversation with the angel, she makes a bold statement that we can't miss out on either in the second part of Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." How many of you think you have faith? Come on now. How many of you think you have faith? If God told you you were going to bear a child, and it was going to be called, you were to call the name Jesus, and he was going to be the Savior of the world, what would you say? I would probably say, "I don't have a whole lot of faith right now, God." But Mary believed. And hear me out on this, because Mary teaches us something very important. God wants to do wonderful things with every single one of us, but sometimes we don't have the faith that it takes. Sometimes we're not willing to turn loose of our own agendas, our own personal lives, and we're wanting to hold on to everything instead of just simply say, Lord, here I am, use me. Because isn't that what Samuel cried out? We see that same statement through, and Mary's saying the same thing. Behold, let it be to me according to your word. In other words, I'm believing, I'm trusting, I'm having faith, even because that's what faith is. True faith is not faith unless it's tested. Sometimes we don't like our faith tested, but Mary here is presenting us with an opportunity to learn from her. But as all these things are saying, I want us to skip over to Luke chapter 2, verse 19. I think we have that on board. Because if you fast forward through this, you find out, you know, the birth of Jesus brings men to the temple to offer her seed. He's going to be circumcised and all these things that was traditional back then. But she was listening. She listened to the angel, right? She listened to the angel by faith. She's hearing Anna and Simeon talk all these wonderful things about her son. And then in verse 19 it says, but Mary kept all these things pondered them in her heart. She pondered them. What does pondered mean? It doesn't mean you go out and dig a bunch of ponds, right? She thought about all these things. And think of them as a mother. And I know us guys, we can't. God made us separate. I mean, that's what our Sunday school lesson was on. He made us different. But women, listen to me, as moms, and you think about your child, and you think about all that they are going to become, and what they're going to have to go through and suffer through life. The good times, the bad. She pondered all these things in her heart because she's simply by faith trusting that what God said he was going to do, but also on the other part of it was to hear what her son would have to go through to deliver his people. Mary. Verse 28, the angel of the Lord told Mary she was highly favored. She was highly favored. And then in verse 30, it says, you have found favor with God. I want to tell you something, because the prosperity preachers today would tell you that as long as you have faith, you'll never have problems. Amen? Read the story of Mary and tell me if a prosperity preacher is lying to you or not. Mary went through a lot. Not only as she carried her Christ child in her body, but even afterwards. Think about this for just a moment. She was highly favored, but she was a pregnant teenager. Amen? Is that easy? She was pregnant out of wedlock. Now, I know today in our society does not look down on it like they did back in these times, 2,000 years ago. That was just a no-no. In fact, they were still going by the Old Testament law in this time. And literally, if they were caught, because remember the woman that was caught in adultery, they bring to Jesus and say, what do you say? The law says to stone her to death. What do you say? You know, they because literally in this time frame, a woman who got pregnant out of wedlock was to be stoned to death. Fornication. You think that was easy for her to go around? She was also a poor girl. She gave birth to God's son in the stable of all places, not the Hilton Hotel. Amen? She would see her son ridiculed, betrayed by even his closest friends. He was beaten nearly to death. She would see her son crucified on a cross simply for being the Son of God. But we tend to overlook Mary because we look at the nativity scene and what does Mary look like? She's all, you know, smiling face and shining and got a halo on her head on a lot of the Christmas cards and stuff. She looks so angelic, but yet look at what she is going through and what she has to go through. So the question comes to us this morning, how can we be highly favored by God? Mary was highly favored by God simply because I believe, it's my opinion, she had faith and she was also humble. If we're going to be used by God, we have to allow God through faith to use us, but we also have to humble ourselves just like she did and say, let it be to me according to your word. Lord, use me however you see fit. I am not my own because I've been bought with a what? With a price. Is that our mentality, that Lord, no matter where you want to use me, where you want to send me, what you want me to do, I will do it. When we look at these passages, we have to realize that through faith, God can use you. One of Satan's biggest lies that we believe so much as Christians is, number one, I'm not trained to do it. I'm not educated. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time anymore. Y'all can think of a whole bunch more probably. Mary was poor, and yet God could still use her. Let me tell you this. You are never too poor for God to use you. You're never too rich for God to use you. You're never too much middle class for God to use you. You just simply got to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Humble yourself through faith. Believe it is going to happen, and then act upon it. Mary was poor. Mary was also young. Amen? She was young. In this time frame, they say it's not uncommon for a girl to have been engaged, betrothed, whatever the other words you want to use, at ages of 11, 12, 13 years old. I'm not saying she was that young. I'm just simply saying it is possible that the angel appeared to her sometime around 12 to 13 years of age. She was young. So what does that teach us? Listen to me, kids. You're not too young for God to use you. Teenagers, you are not too young for God to use you. Young adults, you're not too young for God to use you. Because a lot of people say, well, when I get older, when I get retired, then I'll serve God. By the time you get too old to serve, that's what happens, right? You get too old to do it, right? That's the reality of it, because when God wants to use us, we're telling him no, and then we want God to use us, we can't hardly go no more. And I'm not making fun of it, that's reality. And so it doesn't matter how young you are, like Mary, and possibly Joseph, or how old you are, like Zacharias and Elizabeth, when you see that, you realize just how, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, God can use you if you're willing. But are we willing? I want us to think about something else. How many of you have ever lived in a town where there was one side of the track and another side of the track? You know what I mean. Or maybe it's a road or a part of town or what, you know, and sometimes we think, God can't use me because I'm not from the right place. Mary was from a town called Nazareth, and one of the disciples said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was a town that had a bad reputation. Now, we don't know exactly why, but Nazareth was a place that had a bad reputation. And so Mary is a poor young girl living on the wrong side of the track, so to speak. And yet God could still use her because she was humbling herself. She was coming to him through faith. So we are never from the wrong place for God to use us. You say, "Well, Brother Tim, you don't know how we live, where we live, what we go through." I don't. But God does. And if God can take a poor young girl from the wrong part of town or the wrong side of the tracks, he can use you and me if we're simply just willing to be used by him. The second point I want us to realize is this. Mary had to realize that no matter what came her way, God was with her. What did the angel say? "The Lord is with you." You know, that should be the most comforting. Well, I'm going to give you three verses in just a moment. There are three verses that anytime you feel like you're alone and that you're going at this life by yourself, there are three verses that I want you to look at. The first one is Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" When you're going through that tough time and everything seems to be falling apart, you know who we need to look to? We need to look to the Lord. We need to trust in him. Why? In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord has said, I will never," what? "Nor forsake you." I'm not going to leave you. You are mine, and I am yours. I'm not going to. That is the same principle as what marriage is supposed to be, folks. Amen? I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the covenant that Jesus Christ has made with the church, and that when we stand before God and pledge ourselves to one another, that is the same thing we're supposed to be doing. Pledging ourselves that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? Man, that ought to just recharge batteries. Amen? When you feel like you're going at this world by yourself, God is in control. He's not leaving you. He's not left you, and he's not going to. We have to trust that. Why was that important? Why was it important that Mary needed to know God was with her? Because she's facing the face of tough times. Could you imagine, ladies, if you were Mary, an angel comes to you, shows up in your bedroom, and tells you you're going to have a baby. And he's going to be called Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sins. And you're going through there, and then all of a sudden you think, "Oh, there's not a time frame here, but maybe 2 months, she's starting to feel something. Maybe by 3 months, you know, you've got the little pooch belly." Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, maybe that's the wrong thing to say. You're in trouble when I get home. but the point I'm trying to make is sooner or later, she has to go to Joseph and say what? This is the point I'm trying to make. She's got to go to Joseph and say, "I'm going to have a baby." Mary has already said, "How can this be since I don't know a man?" And Joseph's going to say, "How can this be? Because I know I have it." Amen. She's got to go and tell him. what is going on, and what is he going to think? We'll talk about his perspective tonight. But as I think about this, I think about how there was the possibility that even her family would reject her. Amen? We're not told the perspective of Mary's parents or Joseph's parents here, but I'm sure when they found out she was pregnant, what did they say? When she says, the angel of the Lord appeared to me and told me I was going to have a baby. Come on, how would you react? That ain't how it works. Right? That ain't how it works. That's impossible. We know what you've been doing. Right? Why are you lying to us? That they would probably have put her out, if not stoned her to death. Because here again, in this time frame, that was the penalty, was stoning. There was that possibility. Think about her community. She would have been rejected by them. Could you imagine standing around the water well in town? The gossip. Here comes Mary, y'all hush. That's that girl that got pregnant at a wedlock. She's claiming she's going to give birth to a Messiah, but we know that ain't right. Could you imagine the talk that is going on here? She's rejected. She's shunned by everybody she knows and loves. And pretty soon, she's going to have to leave everybody she knows and loves. And you think Mary's story is easy. Because the Christmas cards show it to be that way. The nativity scene shows it that way. And we don't think about what all is going through her mind. And as she's pondering these things in her heart. Because there's so many things that could go wrong. But she needed to have faith that no matter where she was, what she was going through, the Lord was with her. And you know, that promise is still true for us today who have put our faith and trust in Jesus. My third and final point is simply this. God always does what he says he's going to do. Don't forget that. God always does what he says he is going to do. He has never slacked on any one of his promises. Because if God slacked on just one of his promises, he would cease being God. Because God is perfect, God is holy, God cannot lie. And so if he withheld on just one of his promises, he would no longer be God. Think about this. You have several stories, I'm going to go through these quickly, several stories of miracle babies in the Bible. Okay? Several stories. I'm just going to run through them quickly, give you a chapter, verse, that's it, or chapter. And it's in Genesis 17, God shows up to Abram and Sarai. I don't know how to say her name. Abraham and Sarah, as we know them today. Abraham's what? 75 years old, and God tells him he's going to have what? A son. Well, he's 100 years old by the time God fulfills his promise, but guess what God did? He was faithful. God did what he said he was going to do. Judges chapter 13, there was a guy named Manoah and his wife named, what was her name? I don't know that we know her name. Anyhow, they bear a son named Samson. And for a time, he was the deliverer of the nation of Israel. We have another story in Samuel. Samuel's mother prayed and prayed and prayed that God would heal her barrenness. So much so that Eli, the high priest at the time, thought she was old drunk woman. Go back and read the story. I'm not lying. He thought she was drunk. Well, you've been drinking too much. You need to go home. But God gave her a son named Samuel. And we find in the story we are reading from, even in Luke, that Zacharias and Elizabeth were barren also. And God shows up to them and tells them that they are going to bear a son and he is going to be the forerunner of Christ. And although all of those stories are miracle baby stories, they are different than Jesus' birth. And the reason is because Jesus' birth was a virgin birth. Amen? The rest of them come by human means, not Jesus. Jesus was by God. And you say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Because if man had anything to do with it, Jesus would have never been the Savior. Because of sin, nature is passed down from a father. And you say, why is that so? Because back in Genesis, if y'all come to Sunday school next week, amen, you're going to find out. Eve was tempted, but Adam ate of the fruit knowingly, willingly, and lovingly. Man, that's a tough thing to swallow because those guys like to blame the who? The women, right? That's what Adam did, and then he blamed God. But here's the thing. Jesus was born of a virgin. He didn't inherit the sin nature that was passed down from Adam. He was born because his father was holy and righteous. He was God the Father. So it's impossible to believe in that. And by human reason, you're right. Because just like Mary, how can this be? Since I don't know, amen. She that word know is an intimate word. It is to know physically, emotionally, sexually. She says, I have never known a man like that. How can it be? Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And you say, what's that got to do with anything? Even in the New Testament, it says, born of a woman, not of a woman and a man. Born of a woman. Because why? God was his father. Amen? God was his father. And as he's born, he becomes our Savior. He said, well, that's just too hard to believe. Well, if so, we're just admitting we don't believe in the God who can create out of nothing. If we don't believe it, then we're saying, well, the whole Bible is a lie. Because even in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, it's foretelling that one day the one who would be born a woman would crush the head of Satan. And so we would have to skip over all of that. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, it says, O Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing, what? Nothing is too hard for who?
God.
For God. Nothing is too hard for him. Do we believe that this morning? Is your faith in that this morning? Well, Mary believed it. Mary believed it. Joseph believed it, as we'll see tonight. Joseph believed it. And here's something I want you to think about. Did anybody else believe it at that time? Probably not, other than Elizabeth and Zacharias. And Simeon. But did it matter what anybody else believed? No. So the point is simply this. If we want God to use us, if we want to be highly favored by God, we've got to come to him in faith, believing what he says he's going to do, that he's going to do it, he's going to accomplish it. But at the same time, humbling ourselves to say, Lord, here I am. Use me. Maybe some of us here this morning would say, you know, I know the Christmas story, but maybe I don't know Christ. Maybe I've never put my faith and trust in him as my Lord and Savior. And maybe today you need to make that decision. But maybe some of us have made that decision, but we're at a place in our lives that God is asking us to do something. Because as long as you're God's child and you're still alive, guess what God's going to do? He's going to ask you to do things by faith. And he's going to ask you to humble yourself so that he can use you. Because as long as we're prideful and arrogant, he can't use us. He won't use us. He'll have to break you down first. Listen to what Elizabeth says to Mary. In Luke 1:45, listen to what Mary says. Elizabeth says to Mary. When they meet, because remember when Mary finds out she's going to have the Christ child, she goes to visit her aunt Elizabeth, who's now 6 months pregnant. Listen to what is said here in verse 45. Blessed is she that what? Believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. My question to us this morning is simply in this Christmas season, we believe the Christmas story, we believe Jesus is God's son, we believe he's born of a virgin, but how has that affected your living? How has that affected your life? Can you say that each day you're striving to allow God to use you as he sees fit? That you're saying, Lord, I don't know what you got planned today. I know I've got to go to work. I've got to do these things. But Lord, as I'm going, as I'm there, as I'm coming home, help me be somebody you can use. Lord, I'm giving you full control. I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you this day. Because Christmas shouldn't just be about one day a year. That should be the reality of us as believers every single day, that Lord, let it be to me according to thy word. Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray, Lord, first and foremost, that we know you. That we have put our faith and trust in you, the only one who can save us from our sins. I pray that is true. But Lord, so often we want to run our own lives, we want to do our own things, we feel like we're not qualified, that we're from the wrong place, the wrong time, the wrong financial background, the wrong education. Lord, you just simply want us to humble ourselves by faith, trusting, Lord, that you're going to answer. You're going to do whatever needs to be done to bring your word to pass. Lord, we just simply need to humble ourselves by faith, trusting you. But Lord, we also need to realize that you have called each of us to do things, to follow you. You've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. You've called us to walk worthy. You've called us to do many, many things. And for some of us, Lord, it may be a call into the ministry. For others of it may be a call just to be a witness on the job, to be just a witness to anyone and everyone. But Lord, you're calling us. Lord, the question is, are we going to follow? Are we going to allow you to have your way? Lord, I pray that you would cause us this morning to just bow ourselves to you, Lord, and turn our lives over to you. And Lord, help us to be like Mary. Lord, have your way as only you can. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.